The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Have you ever seen the movie Spaceballs?
Yes.
And they have
yes.
the massive helmets, like the massive.
That's what it looked like. It looked so unnatural and nerdy and like out of place. And just, they should have tried that ahead of time. Like they should have, for the optics, been like, okay, we're going to have you jump in here, put on the helmet. Let's see what this looks like. And then gone, oh no, we're not going to do that. So
I think that our country is right now in the most dangerous position it's ever been.
Confident that there will be a peaceful transfer of power in January 2025.
If Trump wins, no, I'm not confident.
Take a look at what happened.
You're considered the most liberal United States senator.
Somebody said that.
Campaign rallies, not a press conference. Why isn't she at a press conference? She's the vice president. She can handle the questions. Why not do it?
Dana, I think the most important and most significant aspect of my policy perspective and decisions is my values have not changed.
4 months from now, we will have an incredible victory, and we will begin the four greatest years in the history of our country.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Campaign Games, the game of survival for both the candidates and the voters. We got 4 days.
Three days.
Why is it that I can never keep count?
Like, I think everybody looks at it differently. If you actually count in by 24-hour periods, it's Friday at 6. I'm going to be at the polls at 6 on Tuesday morning. So Friday, so Saturday, Sunday, Monday. It's actually four full 24-hour cycles. But it seems to me that the popular way of looking at it is by whole days. So it would be until it gets you to where you need to be. So all day today is Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So that's 3. I don't know.
Okay. So my kids convinced me.
Yeah, 3 to 4. But I'm going to go with we have 3 full days until we go to bed, hoping that we wake up the next morning. We'll see. So, yeah, 3 days is what I'm going with.
We don't know. We don't know what day it is. Today is Friday. Election day is Tuesday. We're all holding on for dear life. We will make it. It will end eventually. It will end eventually. But in the meantime, today's episode, besides trying to figure out what day of the week it is kind of a grab bag because we don't have any really major headlines. Miraculously. Is that a word? Did I say that right?
Or they're all major when it comes to campaigning, but I would say there's not one headliner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's all big news for campaigns, but not necessarily like, oh my gosh, you know, hold the presses. We need to discuss this right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's a little grab baggy today. We're going to discuss. I do see like a little bit of a narrative collecting and it is.
Oh, for sure.
Panic.
Predictably.
And lies. I guess. Panic and lies.
Definitely lies. I mean, but that's kind of all the time.
All right.
I went somewhere last night for dinner. Sorry to interrupt you. But and I walked in and our normal server was there and he's wonderful. And I walked in, he's like, girl, you look so skinny. You're losing weight. And I turned to Sean. I'm like, this entire election cycle is all about lies and deception. Even this server is telling me I look good when I can't even fit into my pants because all I've been eating is junk food. Everything is lies around me. Everything I hear is disinformation.
That's so funny. Well, before we jump into today's episode, make sure that you give this a subscribe, 5-star rating, leave us a lovely comment, share it with your friends because sharing is caring and it helps us grow. And let's first talk about, so the big news initially was Vance went on Rogan, right? So the report was that it was going to be like a 4-hour interview, but it looks like they cut it down because it was more like 3 hours and 17 minutes. So okay. I guess they were counting, he was counting bathroom breaks and things like that.
Which Donald Trump did not take, but Vance apparently did.
Well,
so I didn't listen to it.
Fact,
did you listen?
I got halfway through it and okay. I've seen like a whole bunch of clips. I do know that while I was watching it, it was Rogan that took a bathroom break. But he did really great for what I saw. And like, he's just coming off like he always does as like a normal dude.
Yeah.
But not surprisingly, a handful of his comments got, I guess, taken out of context, well, as usual.
Yeah. Par for the course. Yeah.
Which the Kamala HQ.
They're the worst.
Twitter account or X account.
Yeah, it's really bad.
You want to talk about someone who does constant misinformation.
Yeah.
And what was it? What was it a few months ago? Like 4 months ago that it was cheap fakes. Remember mm-hmm. the narrative cheap yeah. fakes?
Mm-hmm.
That is what this account is 24/7.
Yeah, that's what they exist to do. And they do it well.
I mean, it's kind of gross. It's actually funny because there is a Kamala HQ Lies account that is constantly fact checking Kamala HQ.
Oh, well, I'm finding that.
Well, unfortunately, it's not nearly as popular. But anyways, the one that is really taking off, which I think is kind of amusing, is this. Because mm-hmm. at one point in the interview, Vance goes and says, you know, I really think that we're going to win the normal gay guy vote. Right.
Okay.
So Kamala HQ edits it. So let me play the full context for everyone so you guys can hear it. This is what actually J.D. Vance said.
Frankly, I wouldn't be surprised if me and Trump won just the normal gay guy vote. Again, they just wanted to be left the hell alone. And now you have all this crazy stuff on top of it that they're like, well, no, we didn't want to give pharmaceutical products to 9-year-olds who are transitioning their genders. We just wanted to be left the hell alone.
That's the full context of the clip, right? So clearly he's talking about
pretty basic, pretty cut and dry.
And this is actually a pretty large consensus. I mean, how often do you see and how many in the gay community or gay guys mm-hmm. or lesbians who just want to like live their life, be left alone, and are opposed to the indoctrination of children and the transing of the kids, right?
Yeah, he didn't say anything controversial. I've heard it like dozens of times. People saying, yep, just, you know, we don't want any part in that. They co-opted our movement and they're totally making it something that it wasn't, and we don't want to be involved in that. He didn't say anything controversial.
No,
they're going to make it sound complete, like he's a complete bigot. But
well, so they cut off the last little bit that, you know, like the transing the gays, the gays.
Transing the kids, yeah.
Transing the kids portion, they cut that mm-hmm. portion off. And then you have Kamala HQ doing like a question face. Like, what do you mean? What are you trying to suggest? How are you trying to stereotype gay? What's a normal gay guy? That kind of like narrative. And then you have Don Lemon has also done one. And Anderson Cooper had a nice little reaction. Let me go ahead and play that one for you. Because I was like, this guy is a journalist.
He's a normie. Gay guy. Like, yeah. Wouldn't
and he should be able to like understand the full context of
if anybody should want to see the entire video before he makes a comment.
Exactly. As a journalist, you would expect that. Let's go ahead and listen to Anderson Cooper ask questions.
Just to know what the different where the line is between a normal gay person and a not normal gay person.
I'm assuming
I can guess what it is, like, you know, anything related to drag, I guess, in you know, but, that drag, you know, wearing as much makeup as Donald Trump wears, that would be considered not normal. It's fine for Donald Trump, but on a gay guy, that wouldn't be considered normal.
The other.
This guy is a journalist, and he is trying to push this narrative that J.D. Vance is, I guess, stereotyping I don't even know what he's trying to do.
They all know exactly what J.D. Vance was trying to do. They just need something to talk about. They all knew. They know exactly what he means because people talk about that. They talk about the difference between the people that fought for what they perceived as their right to get married, whether you agree with it or not. There's a difference between that and this new evolving segment of that community that is an entirely different level and have really kind of co-opted the LGB with the T and mm-hmm. taken it to different heights, and especially in their pursuit and involvement of children in that, whether it's through books or, you know, movies, media, drag, like it's through the surgeries, through transitioning young children, telling them that it's fine if they don't have a gender, if they don't know theirs, or if they want to change theirs, you know, at 12, 13, 14 years old, they know the difference. They do. Well, they're just They're bored because there's not, it's not a busy news cycle. They're like we were yesterday, where you and I are tweeting each other or texting each other going, so is it really quiet? What are we going to talk about?
I felt like I was saying Beetlejuice. Like I was waiting for something to go
sideways. Oh, for sure. I thought I was going to wake up and some, like something was to have happened. But no, we didn't. That's why they're all sitting around talking about this.
The thing that annoys me and like we talk about all the time is, you know, how the media is trash. Because this is clearly, he has the ability to see the entire clip and then maybe have a discussion on the actual issue that he's trying to bring up, right?
Right.
But no, instead, you know, we're pushing this narrative of him, I guess, stereotyping or or generalizing. And it's just gross. And just to continue to show how the Kamala HQ account loves to misrepresent things. Trump was with Tucker Carlson in Arizona.
Yeah.
And I did not see the full event. But what I did see trending is that apparently Trump wants to shoot Liz Cheney or wants her to be shot. I don't know if he wants to shoot her personally, but according to Kamala HQ, he wants her to be shot.
Yeah. Okay.
So...
It's also exhausting, honestly.
What he was talking about, let me play the clip for you so you guys can hear the full context. And then you can take a guess as to what has been removed to suggest that he wants people to get shot or he wants Liz Cheney to get shot. I don't even know. They're all the same at this point. Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame him for sticking with his daughter, but his daughter is a very dumb individual, very dumb. She's a radical war hawk. Let's put her with a rifle standing there with 9 barrels shooting at her, okay? Let's see how she feels about it. You know, when the guns are trained on her face.
So that is, they cut off the portion that he is criticizing her for being a war hawk.
Yeah.
And suggesting instead
political
violence.
I mean, that was not an advisable statement. Again, Donald.
Well, I mean,
like you're 3 days out. Let's not talk about anybody on the opposition being shot with anything. Just don't do it. It's not good. But of course, they're going to take it out of context. This is just another. I swear, these people sit there and watch these events, just desperate salivating.
Well, of course,
for something.
I mean, that's what this account is doing. They're stalking. Yeah. Obviously, they have like a little army of people stalking everything that he does and taking it out of context or removing all context. And so what was funny is that this morning I checked and of course Liz Cheney jumps on it and she says, this is how dictators destroy free nations. They threaten those who speak against them with death. We cannot entrust our country and our freedom to a petty, vindictive, cruel, unstable man who wants to be a tyrant. # women will not be silenced. Vote Kamala. Okay.
That feels a little severe to me. She also did not get sleep last night. Just seems a little reactionary. Calm down, Liz.
Side note, because I was watching because speaking about tyrants and fascism and just kind of like the general language that we've been hearing over the last week, honestly, for the last few years, but let's just focus in on literally comparing the MSG rally to Nazis. I was listening to Barry Weiss, Honestly podcast, and Sam Harris and Ben Shapiro, did
that was a great debate. I liked
it. It was a really good debate. It was it was a little exhausting because let's be honest. I mean, we got Ben Shapiro talking a mile a minute, and then Sam Harris being, I don't even know how to describe. Sam Harris has this air of arrogance to him because of his like superior intellect that he feels that nothing that he says can be really questioned. Do you know what I mean?
Which is interesting though, because in that debate, he definitely was not able to keep up with Ben Shapiro, in my opinion. So.
No, I don't think so either. Did you see? So the portion was that I was going to bring up was how Barry Weiss asked, because there's like a debate about like how they demonize each side demonizes each other. And, you know, and Shapiro's acknowledging, you know, that he doesn't like a lot of Trump's language, but specifically that, you know, what you see consistently is attacks, like characterizing Trump mm-hmm. supporters or Trump or anyone within his administration as mm-hmm. comparable to Nazis, fascism, right. which you would argue gives people permission that
to
they are
someone, yeah.
maybe an mm-hmm. enemy from within,
mm-hmm.
right? Because he goes and Harris goes and brings up how, you know, Trump, you know, is targeting people and calling his opposition an enemy from within. And Harris points out, well, couldn't you argue?
Points out.
Sorry. I said Harris. Barry Weiss points out.
Okay.
Couldn't you say that if you are using the language of comparing the other side to fascist Nazis,
mm-hmm.
that they would qualify, and they're American citizens, they're in the mm-hmm. United States, they would qualify as an enemy from within. And yeah. of course, he's making like this argument.
Of course,
of
Sam
like,
Harris is going to be like, that's a bridge too far. That's not yeah. the same thing. They're not equivalent, but it really is kind of the case. It's really common for Democrats to say, we can do it, but you can't. And yeah. they do it all the time. They call, I have it documented in my social media feeds where they have called Donald Trump, and then by default, his followers, Hitler and Nazis for years. Okay. It's fine if they do it. But if Republicans do it, we are, as Liz Cheney said, we are like tyrants. And that's just, you're not playing fair. You're not intellectually honest. And I think that they know it. So,
well, I think it is what we're dealing with here is that you're dealing with a politician who just says, or not even a politician, mm-hmm. Trump's not a politician, it's a problem. So you're dealing with a man that just says what he's actually thinking,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And he uses phrases that he's just familiar with, like anybody, any Joe Schmo basically would speak,
yeah.
versus a politician where they can be like, well, I've never called the right. American citizens XYZ.
Yeah, there's a veneer there that Donald Trump just doesn't have, which is why half of the country is really appreciates that about him. He kind of is blustery and he says things the way a lot of people say things, including Democrats, by the way. Do you mm-hmm. think that all of these people don't sit in their house and talk similarly to Donald Trump about Republicans and about the people that they don't want in office? Of course.
Oh, absolutely.
They just have my favorite word. They're more glossy. Like they can brush it off and kind of pretend and act like, you know, they're above it all. When really they're not. So I don't know, these kinds of things like the Kamala HQ, when I see that stuff, their responses, I see right through it. So I'm like, oh, I don't even pay attention to it anymore. But and I hope that a lot of America does too. But
well, I'm going to tell you, I don't, you know, how do I say this? Like, I have to remind myself pretty consistently that mm-hmm. I mean, I'm aware that obviously I consume more than the average person,
mm-hmm.
but I have to remind myself that I consume way, way more than the average person. Because mm-hmm. I was like talking to my hairstylist the other day and she was asking me questions and she's, you know, she's a working mother, mm-hmm. you know, she's my stylist. She yeah. is just kind of aware, but she's not
in the weeds.
In yeah. the weeds. And, you know, she's asking me questions and I'm actually explaining things with the assumption that she knows what I'm talking about,
right?
And I'm always having to clarify, and I find that pretty consistently in just general conversations with what I would call, like, you know, just normies.
Yeah.
And
it's
so
it's true.
I don't know if they, you know, if they see this clip, do they know how out of context it is? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mean, if they're normies, they probably don't even know what Kamala HQ is, if I'm honest.
Well, for sure. But that's my point. The thing is that these clips go from Kamala HQ and then they disseminate.
To the mainstream. That's true.
To the mainstream. And then mm-hmm. they're like, oh, look what he said. I'm like, well, you've mm-hmm. completely removed the context of it. And that's really, you know, it's kind of funny that in the 2020 election and even 2016, it was all about misinformation and the Democrats mm-hmm. are really, and here you have the Democrat candidates, like
this
rapid
is the definition
response
of misinformation. Yeah.
Pushing literal misinformation. And it's
well,
wild
I think that's,
to me.
I think that that is why accounts like ours and others on social media matter, because it's not giving just a voice to one side of the aisle, which traditional media, that's what it's turned into. So,
well, yeah, because we saw
independent
Anderson
voices
Cooper.
Matter. Yeah, because they're going to put that stuff up there and we're going to, you know, show up and say, okay, hold your horses, bucko. That's not exactly what happened. Why don't we talk about the entire thing? And so those voices are important.
Yeah,
they are.
Well,
they're very, which is why they're being silenced, honestly.
Well, and it's not just the Kamala HQ account. Like, it starts there, but then you have Kamala Harris herself doing
right.
it from the
oh,
podium.
Gosh. She
at
lies
rallies.
Every single rally. And I'm not talking just because I don't like her, which I do not. She just lies. It's just lies. And their campaign, all they harp on is how much Donald Trump lies. When he opens his mouth, all he does is lie. I'm sorry. Your candidate, Kamala Harris, tells, she deceives her followers at every turn. She is saying things that are so obviously false, and yet she parrots them. She says the exact same thing at every single rally. It's wild.
It's insane. And she did it just this week or just like yesterday. So Trump, let's first, like, Trump's in Green Bay, by the way, post garbage truck. He's in Green Bay. He's, you know, did the garbage truck ride. He's got his vest on and he's like performing essentially on the stage with this giant, with this neon construction vest or whatever the heck he has on, right?
You gotta love it.
And then he is talking about the border, and I'm gonna play this clip for you so you can hear what he says. And then I'm gonna play for you the way Harris, from the podium in a rally, describes or ties together what he said. It's, I'm just like, I cannot with this woman in this campaign. It's insane to me.
And my people told me about 4 weeks ago, I was saying, no, I want to protect the people. I want to protect the women of our country. I want to protect the women. Sir, please don't say that. Why? They said, we think it's very inappropriate for you to say. I said, why? I'm president. I want to protect the women of our country. They said, they said, sir, I just think it's inappropriate for you to say, pay these guys a lot of money. Can you believe it? I said, well, I'm going to do it whether the women like it or not. I'm going to protect them. I'm going to protect them from migrants coming in. I'm going to protect them from foreign countries that want to hit us with missiles and lots of other things.
So clearly he's talking about protecting women, right?
Yep, pretty cut and dry. Yep.
Pretty cut and dry. It's not super complicated at all. Nope. So then Harris takes it and somehow, I don't even understand what we're doing here.
Like, I have a guess.
Let's listen to Madam Vice President.
And remember how we got here. Donald Trump hand-selected 3 members of the United States Supreme Court with the intention that they would undo the protections of Roe v. Wade, and they did as he intended. And now in America, 1 in 3 women lives in a state with a Trump abortion ban, many with no exceptions, even for rape and incest, which is immoral. And Donald Trump's not done. Did everyone hear what he just said yesterday?
Did you hear what he said yesterday?
That he will do what he wants, quote, and here's where I'm going to quote, whether the women like it or not.
Oh, my gosh.
And we must vote because this is the thing. You know, there's a saying that you got to listen to
okay.
people when they
talk. I don't
want
to talk to her anymore. I don't want to listen to her anymore.
I mean, she's just, she lies.
Shut up, lady.
She's just, they lie. That's
so
it.
Now she's.
Don't ever tell me that Donald Trump's a liar. That's what your entire campaign is based on. That is how you'll win. If you win, that's how you won.
It's extreme. She mm-hmm. is taking that little snippet and tying right. it to
abortion.
Abortion.
Because that's their most important. That is all they care about. That's it. I have not heard anything from the campaign about any policy that matters to me, to my family, to my community, to the schools in my area, to my church, to about the economy. I've heard nothing from this campaign except for that. I should be able to have unfettered access to abortion. That's all they care about. And so they're going to link it to everything, even though he wasn't even talking about that.
No,
everybody knows he wasn't talking about it. He was talking about the border. You know what? Good for him. I love it. My daughter was sitting with me when we watched that clip last night. She's like, sounds good to me. Isn't a president supposed to protect the people of the country? I'm like, yep, that is literally his first responsibility. So that's all he was saying. I think it's great.
Obviously, she can't talk about it in context. Because
she could have just left it alone. Like that is how empty their campaign is, that they have to find 3 seconds out of a 1 minute and 37 second statement he's making.
Yeah.
And they have to cut it down to size and then try and retrofit it into their narrative about abortion. That's how little they have. They're running on no substance. And so they have to do that. Wow.
It's pretty gross. It's really gross.
Reach. Yeah, it is.
And if you go to the Kamala HQ account on X, mm-hmm. you and like casually scroll, you will pretty consistently see clips that are like 5 to maybe 10 seconds long. Because
that's all they can do.
Yeah,
both cut out. For Trump and for her, because you can only listen to a few seconds of her statements before she starts rambling, and that is. That is the truth. And I'm not the only one saying it. All the liberal pundits are also saying the same thing, literally outside of their head now. So, you know, it's all a charade. It's a game.
Well, speaking of correcting the record or making edits to
I see what you're doing.
Do you like that? Do you like that transition?
That was really great. That was great.
If I could get down like ad transition like Ben Shapiro does, will be set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really well done.
For the future.
We're new to this, but that was good. Good first try.
So last night, as I'm trying to go to sleep and getting my brain to shut off, which I failed miserably, the AP reports, it does like a breaking report, and the headline is the White House altered the transcript of President Joe Biden's garbage remarks despite stenographer concerns. If you were listening to our last episode, you are obviously up to date to the fact that there was, what is this, apostrophe gate that we're talking mm-hmm, about
exactly.
here?
Exactly. Yes.
Is that what it is? So in the last episode, we talked about how Biden, while Harris was on the ellipse giving her final grandiose speech, he's like 5 yards away in the White House on a Zoom call, kicking her in the face. Because mm-hmm. he goes and he says that essentially Trump supporters are trash. That is what he said. He said Trump supporters are trash.
He didn't kind of say it. He said the only thing that's garbage are his supporters.
Correct. So. And of course, the White House goes into a panic. They go into a panic, right? And shortly thereafter, he puts out a tweet kind of trying to clarify his statement. You know, you got the White House transcript that suddenly appears with an apostrophe.
Mm-hmm.
In supporters, so it's possessive,
yeah,
questionable to say the least. And now
Karine Jean-Pierre was defending it from the podium at one of her famous pressers, and no one's buying it.
Where she tells the truth
exactly
24/7.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
So apparently, the report is that stenographers were opposing this edit to the transcript. And it says the edit of the transcript came as the White House scrambled to respond to a wave of queries from reporters about Biden's comments. The president's
They scrambled to change what actually happened, to adjust reality is what they scrambled to do.
And then this is a quote if there is a difference in interpretation, the press office may choose to withhold the transcript, but cannot edit it independently. The supervisor wrote, adding, quote, our stenography office transcript released to our distro, which includes the National Archives, is now different than the version edited and released to the public by the press office staff, which is, what was it that you told me earlier?
A violation of the Presidential Records Act.
Correct.
Yeah. Because the problem with that is there's no laws tied to the PRA. So they would have to go outside of like that actual act in order to, I don't know, bring charges against somebody. So, I mean, I hope they do, because this is blatant. Like, this is changing reality. This is changing words.
Yeah, it literally changes history.
Happened.
I mean, it's literally the Ministry of Truth. is yes. what's happening here. Yes. This is literally
on the
Orwellian.
White House website. Yeah, on the White House website, on all of the statements that they distributed to social media accounts and influencers and the media. It's like Orwell talked about all this stuff. And I know that whole line of, you know,
it sounds
the whole thing is kind of getting a little tired because everything is very Orwellian. But he talked in his novels about just this, like when they start to own all language and words and they can redefine what words mean. And what happened in reality, they can change it in front of your eyes and tell you that it's the new truth. Is Orwellian, and that's what they're doing.
Oh, the times that we're in. And that was, of course, in response, because that all stemmed from calling Trump supporters garbage. And then Trump, in his glory, arrived at Green Bay on the tarmac. Mm-hmm. Like, he got off the plane and jumped into a trash truck.
A Trump trash
garbage.
Truck.
Yeah, Trump garbage truck.
It was great.
Which I thought was really funny. Everybody, I don't know. It's like the Democrats can't. I don't know if it's like they're just too stick in the mud. They can't give him one.
I think that they're jealous that they can't come up with that stuff.
And
they can't pull one over on Trump. Like, they can't troll Trump.
Like, it was wild to me. So Ian Smith is the spokesperson for the Harris campaign. Mm-hmm. And his response, he tweets a picture of Trump in the truck and Trump at McDonald's, which, hands down, the McDonald's campaign stunt, or whatever they want to categorize
it
was gold. Okay.
Yeah.
And I would say that this garbage truck situation was a close
pretty
second.
Great. Yeah, it's pretty great.
Especially with the vest and everything like that. And so he tweets the two pictures, and for anyone who's a little too young to understand this reference, we'll explain it in a minute, but he says, is Donald Trump the first candidate ever to have not one, but two Dukakis moments?
Oh, wow. He's really trying to. Oh, okay.
Do you want to explain the Dukakis moment just in case somebody doesn't know?
Okay. So he was a presidential candidate in, what was the, was it in 80?
It was with Bush. It was Bush Senior.
And he showed up at, it wasn't a rally though, was it? It was outside and
I think it was like a National Guard photo op.
For some reason, he got into a military vehicle, but he got in like with the actual like soldier.
It was in a tank.
It was in a tank, he was itty bitty. Mike Dukakis was a small gentleman. And he got into the tank and he put on one of the soldiers'
hats.
It's early. Helmets. And he just looked so, what's the word?
Has anybody seen Spaceballs?
Yes.
Have you ever seen the movie Spaceballs?
Yes.
And they have the massive helmets, like the massive.
That's what it looked like. It looked so unnatural and nerdy and like out of place. And just they should have tried that ahead of time. Like, they should have, for the optics, been like, okay, we're going to have you jump in here, put on the helmet. Let's see what this looks like. And then gone, oh no, we're not going to do that. So,
well, and he has like that big fat strap across,
but it wasn't
chin.
Like completely like on him. Right. And so it was a campaign killer. And so it's referred to affectionately now, probably not for him because he looked like a doofus. It's referred to now as like a Dukakis moment. And so what they're trying to say is that Donald Trump tried to do these two funny things, but they fell flat, when in fact they actually didn't, and people loved them. And so I think that these people just say stuff in like trying to convince themselves that it's true because they know it's not.
Well, and I wonder sometimes if it's maybe a reflection of the complete disconnect that they have
with reality.
Not just the reality, but just like with the common man.
Yeah.
Like, just regular Joes find this endearing. They find it amusing. They can, you know, even appreciate the fact that he's self-deprecating in these and he's making fun of himself.
Well, he's also comfortable being around the common man. He's comfortable going to McDonald's. He says stuff like, I could do this all day, because he could. Mm-hmm. He is a normal guy in that sense. I know everybody wants to disconnect him from normal people because he's rich, but you can be rich and still be completely comfortable around people who aren't, because because you have surrounded yourself with those people your whole life. You've gotten to know them. You're able to like bridge that divide. And he is like that. He can get into a trash truck and not think I'm better than this. Can you imagine Kamala Harris attempting to bridge the divide between her and non-elite people and try and kind of insert herself into one of these situations? It would feel unorganic. It would feel off.
Did you not see her try and use a shovel?
No.
Oh my
God. But I did see her try and sit at a bar and have a beer with someone and pretend like she didn't know she was being mic'd. So that felt off to me.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is Trump has this ability to do that, to identify with people who are normal because he's normal. I know people don't want him to be normal, but he kind of is. And he is abnormal in a lot of ways too. But he's able to like tap into that. He sees people, average Americans. I think he can relate to them in a way. I don't know how that is, but he's able to. And I think the Democrats are just jealous of that because they can't. They don't think things are funny. They don't want to try and, you know, think outside of their 5-mile radius in D.C. or, you know, in Hollywood. And
the media like can't even give it to him. Did you see Nora O'Donnell?
No.
And how she
because I don't watch CBS and I'm not a glutton for punishment. No, thank you.
She did the like intro to the news and the way
news in air quotes,
news in air quotes, like the way she did this intro was wild because clearly completely unbiased, totally straight news.
Right.
Being completely honest in a representation of what Trump did and what happened and why he did it.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
We are now 6 days out from Election Day. Nearly 60 million votes have already been cast in early in-person voting and through the mail. And the latest polls suggest the race could not be tighter. Both campaigns are locking their focus on the battleground states. Vice President Kamala Harris rallied in North Carolina and Pennsylvania today and is in Wisconsin tonight. Former President Donald Trump was in North Carolina earlier and tonight is also in Wisconsin. He landed in Green Bay just a short time ago and then pulled this campaign stunt, speaking to reporters from a garbage truck, proof that he and his supporters are giving no grace to a gaffe by President Biden, where he, in his explanation, inadvertently called Trump supporters garbage. This, of course, was in response to that racist joke about floating garbage told at a Trump rally just last weekend. Vice President Harris is distancing herself from the negativity and trying to drive home her unifying message that if elected, she will represent all Americans.
And that's why I don't watch that news station.
I watched that and I just like, I couldn't believe it. The trash thing was a stunt.
Mm-hmm.
Biden just had a gaffe. What was the other one? The racist joke that was told at the rally. Flat out.
And then,
no explanation.
And then Kamala's unifying.
And then
right?
Kamala's
right.
unifying. Yes, yeah. exactly. No. Yes. After Kamala literally called Trump a fascist and then had
and
her
Hitler.
Vice president.
Mm-hmm.
And Hitler. Can I forget that? And then had her vice president compare the MSG rally to a Nazi rally. Yes.
Yeah. And that woman was supposed to have been in charge of a fair and unbiased debate between the, like, wasn't she one of the...
Yeah, she was one of the debate moderators.
And that was supposed to be fair? Like, it's ridiculous.
What was it? Fair and balanced.
Yeah, right. Sure it was. Man, these guys.
It's wild to me how this just kind of keeps happening. And I'm seeing this... Mm-hmm. Pretty consistently, it's like how we talked about earlier in other episodes that as we get closer to the election, that this is just going to continue to escalate.
Yeah. And they're becoming more and more desperate to get in their final like punches.
Yeah. And it's wild because now it's becoming, you know, this battle of information, which luckily the battle can be fought on X because before it would just be impossible.
Seriously. God bless Elon. I mean it.
And then the last one that went viral, speaking of being trashed consistently by the Democrats, was Mark Cuban informing The View that Trump cannot have intelligent, strong women around him.
Donald Trump, you never see him around strong, intelligent women, ever. It's just that simple. They're intimidating to him. He doesn't like to be challenged by them. And, you know, Nikki Haley will call him on his nonsense with reproductive rights and how he sees and treats and talks about women. I mean, he just can't have her around. It wouldn't work.
I think Stormy is intelligent. I don't think that's 100%. She's very smart. Yeah, Stormy.
He means this, like, he means
on stage. Yes.
None of his supporters or the people he surrounds himself with are intelligent or capable of making up their own decisions, right?
Which is, it's funny because it immediately, of course, as soon as I heard that, I thought of several women that were in the Trump administration.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember a story that Kellyanne Conway told where she remembered being the Oval Office with Trump. Mm-hmm. And when she looked around, it was Trump with like five women in positions of power within the administration.
And some of them were moms. Some of them had new babies. Many of them had worked as executives. And he was taking his advice or their advice, listening to them. Mark Cuban, like anytime someone says his name, I'm like, whatever. I don't even pay attention or take anything he says seriously because, I mean, first of all, why, you know, should I? But like he seems to me to have a serious case of like rapidly increasing Trump derangement syndrome. He's gotten
on scent TDS.
Yeah, seriously, he has gotten worse really fast. I mean, I know he's always kind of poked jabs at Trump, never really been like an admirer, but I feel like he's kind of gone a little crazy, like off the deep end, kind of like how Howard Stern went off the deep end when it came to the COVID stuff. And you just were like, yeah, like I was always a nut. But then they start being really, really weird. Or you've got, I don't know, like Robert De Niro or Al Pacino, like giving Trump derangement
speeches
out on the sidewalk in New York.
About how they like, want to punch him in the face.
Yeah. Like what happened to you, friend? What happened? You know, it's just so weird. And Mark Cuban, it feels like he just is falling off the deep end.
Well,
Mark.
What I noticed and what caught my attention was Mark Cuban did that on The View and Biden did his quote gaffe.
Yeah.
While on a Zoom call with a Democrat, like Latino voter initiative.
Yeah.
And it just seems to me that consistently, you know, you see them saying, oh, I would never say that about Trump supporters or the American people. But the moment they get into a situation where they're comfortable and where they're with an audience that they know is in agreement with them.
Yeah.
They like lose control and just let their guard down. And that's what happened with Mark Cuban. Like he was on The View, which they all hate.
Well, they all have Trump derangement syndrome. Whoopi Goldberg was saying the other day, I saw a clip where she's saying that if Trump's elected, he's going to break up all interracial marriages. Like these ladies have lost their minds. Seriously, like literally lost their minds. They're delusional.
And unsurprisingly, the only one that he gave any grace to was Nikki Haley. He was like, Nikki Haley's the only one that challenges him and stuff like that. But like every other female, I guess, is a complete idiot. I don't know. It's insane. So before we wrap it up, the one thing that you probably are going to be hearing or might pick up some speed today, I guess that's the right way to put it.
Yeah.
Is overnight, the Daily Beast, which is a fabulous publication, though, completely unbiased.
Very reputable.
Very reputable. They have broken a few things. I will say that. I will give them some credit on some stuff, but they're also incredibly biased.
Yeah.
And they recently, overnight, they dropped an article. And the article is about, and it has a recording. So apparently this election, it's all about the recordings.
Yes.
It is author Michael Wolff, who he previously did a book called Fire and Fury in 2018. And that was supposed to be like an expose on Trump's White House and the drama in Trump's White House, right? So now he has released a recording. And it is a recording of, and it sounds like Jeffrey Epstein, of him in a restaurant with Jeffrey Epstein. And Jeffrey Epstein is giving insider information into the Trump White House. And then also in the article, Wolf alleges that he has like 100 hours of recordings.
I think we have a snippet from one of the conversations that I recorded with Epstein. And I think this was in a restaurant in 2017.
His people fight each other.
Right.
And then have outsiders. He sort of poisons the well outside. He will tell 10 people Bannon's a scumbag and Priest is not doing a good job and Kelly has a big mouth. And what do you think? Jamie Dimon says that you're a problem and I shouldn't keep you. And I spoke to Carl Icahn and Carl thinks I need a new spokesperson. So Kelly, even though I hired Kellyanne's husband, Kellyanne's just too much of a wild card. And then he tells Bannon, you know, I really want to keep you, but Kellyanne hates you.
I have more than dozens. I probably have 100 hours of Epstein talking about the inner workings of the Trump White House and about his longstanding, deep relationship with Donald Trump.
Mind you, this is the only clip that we have seen so far. And he also alleges that Epstein showed him pictures of Trump at his Palm Beach home. Is it Palm Beach? Yeah, at his Palm Beach home with young women who were topless and sitting in his lap and just like really
scandalous
images, allegedly. Mm-hmm. And then when asked about the images, he speculates that those images were confiscated by the FBI when they took Epstein's safe.
Not a chance.
Well, my thought is, first of
if the FBI had images of a bunch of ladies in precarious situations, I'll just say that, sitting on Trump's lap, we would have seen those by now. If there was photographic evidence to that degree.
Or recordings, anything.
Or recordings, are you serious? Who's sitting on that? No one.
Absolutely.
On.
And if you listen to the recording, you know, you could interpret what Epstein is saying two ways. You could interpret it as if he has some insider information, or you can interpret it like you see many pundits and many people who give their opinion because of their personal conclusions about what they've read and seen about Trump, about how the inner workings of his White House are.
Yeah.
So it's not evidence of anything. Now,
obviously, 3 days before an election. Like, and why are we not talking about this last year? Like, why now? Come on.
That's
guys.
What drives me insane. It's so like stupid. We know that this probably should have come out. Like, I don't know.
Do these people not have calendars? Like, do they not understand that they, if you have information like that and you want to use it to inform the public because you feel like, I'm assuming this gentleman, this author, I don't know why he's doing it. I shouldn't even speculate.
Well,
about why
he doesn't. I mean, he's known as a controversial figure. You know what
why
I mean?
Now, though? That's and the one question I would ask. Not even like, is this really real? Do you really believe this? I would just say, why do it?
Well, I mean,
Thursday
obviously,
night before an election. Why not do it 6 months before the election? Or
because they're
hoping
because they want it. He's trying to push it as an October surprise, obviously. And Epstein, mind you, Epstein died in 2019. Okay, right. 2019. You know, was right before the 2020 election. So, like, these recordings happened in 2017 while Trump was in office. Why didn't they come out why haven't we seen pictures? Why didn't they come out while...
Because there aren't any, probably. It's like November now. No more October surprises. It's November.
Is it November? It is November.
It is. November 1st.
October
We're done
surprises
with October
are
surprises.
Over.
They're done.
The end. So that is the grab bag for today. Who knows what will happen? I will say it was funny. I was texting Rachel last night and I was like, the polls are trying to murder me.
You care too much.
They're trying to murder me.
Yeah. Well, you're trying to speculate like five different things at once. You're like, are they overestimating Trump? Are they underestimating Trump? Is early polling worth looking at? Yes, it is. I'm going to peek at it. No, wait, I'm not going to look at it anymore. You're caring.
I am.
Too much.
And yeah. I'm saying this to tell you guys to not be like me. Don't be like me.
Look at the polls. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anyways. What's going to happen is going to happen. Regardless of what the polls say.
We don't know.
Unless
what's
you can have fun looking at the polls. Unless it invigorates you. And, you know, you get air of excitement. But if you're like Mercedes, don't look at polls.
Well, because right now there's like narratives going around, right? So the narratives are early voting in Pennsylvania, especially, is outperforming for women. And that means that
that's not good for Trump.
That's not good for Trump, right?
Yeah.
So then everybody's like, okay, well, what's going to happen with the male vote? Also, of course, not every woman is going to vote for Harris. So it remains to be seen. Right. And then also remains to be seen how independents vote. Right. So that's what the Democrats are really excited about. And that's what you're going to be hearing. But then on the other side, there's the polls. And then there's the hope that the polls, again, are underestimating Trump. And so this, like, 0.5, 0.8, 1-point lead in all of these states where they're saying, like, it's too close to call. Is for sure going to be for Trump. Long story short, because I'm getting these DMs. I am getting DMs and questions about this. No, anybody who is telling you that they absolutely know for sure or they believe or they can confidently say who's going to win. Yeah.
The only people you want to listen to are the people who just say, I have no idea. This is what I think might happen. And if they say, I think this is going to happen, that's fine. But anybody who's confidently declaring already, no, they don't know.
No.
None of us know. There's any number of scenarios that could play out on Tuesday. I'm just trying to kind of wrap my head around each one of them so that I'm not super like blown away by a Harris blowout or a Trump blowout or a this is too close to call and we're going to be counting ballots for 3 weeks. I just am trying to kind of prepare myself for
any scenario,
any number of things. Yeah, really.
But regardless of what happens, I know that there's a lot of anxiety. A lot of people are stressed out because I'm getting the DMs about it. And I want to encourage people, first of all, pray, you know, pray for peace, pray for our country, pray that things are steady, regardless of the results of the election. And just, you know, at least put my, even though I have my own anxiety, I really do not suffer from anxiety. Like on a normal day, it's not my bag. It's like not something I'm prone to. So even if I get a little anxious, I can totally understand that you guys are getting anxious. And I just really lean into it's in God's hands and we're going to be okay regardless. Yep.
Yes, we will. Of course. And that's why I think people who have faith and they know that whatever happens, it's God's will, are able to be relatively calm during this. The people I see out there that are in tears, that are saying that they're going to move out of the country, that they are desperate and in depression because of a potential like Trump win. I feel bad that I feel sorry and sad for them that you could live in a space where the value of your life is so undermined by one person in one political position. And I feel compelled to tell them, which I try and do every day, that our hope is definitely not in any earthly leader. So
no.
I feel like I want to hug people who are very, very concerned that their world will be turned upside down for another 4 years if Trump is elected. Because I don't feel like that with Harris. I feel like our country will suffer in ways that are, you know, avoidable. But I also am not going to go to bed crying that night. You know what I mean?
No, so. I mean, you have her face. And then also I do have, even though the country has gone through a lot of changes and a lot of turmoil, I do have a fundamental trust in our system.
Yeah,
as long
it's
as
held
we
steady
are,
for a while.
And as long as we are aware and we stay like
vigilant.
Aware of what's going on and vigilant what's going on and speak truth, then in the end, like things will pan out. It'll be maybe hard for a little bit. It'll maybe suck for a little while.
Yeah.
But it'll be okay.
Yes. So
we'll
hang in there, everybody. Hang in there 3/4 more days, depending on how you look at it.
We will make it.
Make it after all. You're going to make it today.
Will make it after all.
You will.
All right, guys, we're going to let you guys go. That was a grab bag. No big breaking headlines, which actually is kind of nice. Maybe,
I mean, that's good.
Hopefully our weekend will be somewhat peaceful. We can be rested for the election. All right. So I'm going to let you guys go. It's a Friday. Enjoy your Friday. Eat your kids' candy.
Yes.
Halloween. And I'm going to call it a wrap for today's episode of Campaign Games. Make sure that you give us a follow. 5-star rating and a lovely comment. That really helps the podcast grow. And we will see you, hopefully not over the weekend, maybe on Monday.
Hopefully not over the weekend. But yeah, if something breaks and it's a doozy,
we
might
be
in your ears. Yeah.
So in the meantime, catch you on the next episode of Campaign Games, the game of survival for both the candidates and the voters.
Bye.
All right. Bye.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.